constituency statements that have been received. We've received constituency statements from the business constituency, the IP constituency, the registrars, and the non-commercials. The registries, David, correct me if I'm wrong, we should submit ours by tomorrow?
Yeah.
Because we have a registry meeting tomorrow that we'll vote to affirm the statement that we have. Although David and I can, or David can talk to it during this discussion. And Tony has just informed me from that the ISPs will have a, that we should have received the statement, but we will get it very soon. Who just joined?
Tom Pilla. Hi.
Hey, Tom.
Hi, Jeff.
Okay, so we have, again, we have everyone except for the BC and the non-commercial. And what I thought we would do is start out with an initial discussion on the statements and then talk about the next steps. Obviously, it's going to be, we have two diametrically opposed sides to this. And so we need to discuss the ramifications. Technically, we're in the part of the process now where the task force has come out with its report. Now, the purpose of collecting constituency statements was to basically attach to the back of this report, which describes not only the views of the constituencies, but also the impact on the constituencies. And as you'll see here, we may want to discuss whether it's even possible to have a consensus policy going forward. That said, Steve, can I ask you to kind of do a little bit of review of the IP statement?
Basically, we are supportive of these recommendations, and our statement kind of goes through a little bit of the history here. We had made some previous recommendations that are not included, but that we think are consistent with what's in the recommendation. And then we do have a couple of wording suggestions on the recommendations, including an addition that the notice could include notice of the consequences of providing false or inaccurate U.S. data. So that's basically our position.
Okay. Who just joined?
That was Barbara.
Hi, Barbara.
Hi.
Okay. And then the business constituency, there's no one on the call from the business constituency, unless someone just joined? Nope. Okay, well, I have the business constituency statement in front of me, and I don't want to summarize it in my own words, but if I had to, I would say that it's generally supportive of the task force recommendations. There are some wording changes in there as well to kind of change. It doesn't really change the meaning, I don't believe, too much, but it's wording changes generally in support of the task force recommendation. Tom or Paul, would one of you like to discuss the registrar statement?
Go ahead, Tom.
Yeah, sure. Well, in a few basic words, it's just that the registrars are more or less opposed to all the recommendations we issued due to the fact that the registrar believe that it's overly burdensome on them and that they don't want to put one of the special obligations they have in a contract on a spot and make a difference out of it and provide extra data for that, because they think it will kind of stretch the registration process and make it more complicated for the registrant to register.
Okay, and David Maher. You want to, although the registries haven't voted yet, we got a pretty strong indication of what they're going to say?
Yeah, the sentiment among the registries is to support the registrar position. And the reason for that is that we believe this is an overcomplication of what should be a very simple issue. We don't know what goes on in the minds of registrants in different areas of the world as to how they get notification. And it seems to us that best to leave this to voluntary, having the the rules in place are adequate, and additional voluntary compliance should take care of the other needs.
Okay, and then I believe the non-commercials, although I can't find it. Does anyone have a copy of the non-commercial statement?
Yes, this is Jordan. I have it. Once again, I don't want to... I'll take a similar tack to you on with regards to the BC approach, so I don't really want to try to summarize it, but I think excerpting a couple little bits of it, the non-commercials did say that they support hold on just a second, I just lost it.
By the way, there's statements in the email that was just sent out.
Yeah.
Here today.
Yeah.
Ah, okay.
So that's section C is the non-commercial.
It's on that email with all the four documents.
Right.
That's correct, yeah. But it does say that they support the requirement to, they strongly support the requirement to set aside the notification. They strongly support the statement that the wording of the notice provided by registrars should, to the extent be feasible, be uniform. And they think the conspicuous notice is essential, although they believe that public anonymous access to the private contact information poses a number of risks to registrants that may violate their rights to privacy.
Okay, and Tony, I know the ISPs haven't submitted a statement yet, but do you know which way it's leaning? Are you comfortable discussing that, or do you want to hold off?
Actually, I must admit, I've been away from this for a month with the organization of the Argentina meeting. And Maggie was really carrying the load on this, Maggie Manzorkia.
Mm-hmm.
But as you know, she had a baby, and that came early. And for some reason, she was posting this, but Glenn never got it. So I should have it in hand this week and be able to forward it to the list. I apologize for this. It was very, very sudden.
That's okay. Okay, so to summarize, the way I see it so far is that we have, out of the six constituencies, and I don't think, has the ALAC put forward any kind of statement on this? I don't see anything.
I haven't seen anything.
So the way I see this going forward is that we have the non-commercials, the IP, and the business generally supportive of the recommendations with a few tweaks here and there, and the registries and the registrars on the other side against the recommendation, which in the new, I keep saying new, but it's a couple of years old now, in the bylaws, there's a weighted voting scheme that's placed in there, which would...
Jeff, that only... This is Steve. That weighted voting scheme does not apply to task forces.
That's correct, Steve. But it does apply... The recommendations would have to be adopted by the council where that,
right.
that scheme
right,
would
which
apply.
Is, yeah, which is where I was going. So the question is...
Well... Okay.
Well,
I don't think it's a foregone conclusion that what is said in the constituency statements will... Well, go ahead.
Can you explain the weighted scheme anyway? Because I'm not. Some of us might not be familiar with it, like myself.
Sure. At the council...
You have two votes. Your vote's worth twice as much as anybody else's vote, Paul.
The registries...
Except for the registries.
The registries and registrars, the providers, have double vote, basically. So that there's four constituencies, user constituencies, the non-commercials, the IP, the business, and the ISPs, and that equals just the voting of the registries and the registrars at the genus of council level. There are three other members of the council that are appointed by the nominating committee that could essentially break a tie. However, in that instance, although the recommendation could go to the ICANN board, it would not go as a consensus recommendation if the registries and registrars voted against it. It would go as a majority proposal to the council, and all of the facts behind it, the report and the statements would go behind it as well. And the obviously the ramification is that if it's not a consensus policy, then it could not be imposed by the board on the registries or registrars.
Right. More importantly, it doesn't become an automatic amendment to the contract. So
correct.
If that's the case.
So, now, we have a couple options here. We can open this back up and try to see if there's any kind of middle ground. Although at this point, I got to admit, it seems a little hard to do to find middle ground with such diametrically opposed. I mean, maybe Paul and Tom can know better of the registrar view. The other option is we can submit a report to the council with the recommendations of the task force, along with all of the reports, and then note and take a vote amongst the task force and note the objections to the report.
I just want to say, to characterize the registrars, I was surprised how negative it was.
Yeah, same with me.
Can you go into a little bit why? Was there a discussion on the list, or was it just really kind of a vote?
Well, it actually was both, but I had a lot of talks back in Cape Town with other registrars where we initially introduced that idea, and I really got a big, big pushback on that idea that we had to change our way of how we reach out to our customer to make registrations. I guess the overall feeling is that there's a fear out there that with every issue coming up, we have to provide another set of notices in our registration process, which might be easy for certain companies, but it's totally impossible for other companies, and that especially for this company where it is very hard that they have to pick up most of the cost of this implementation. And they doubt that it will be for any, yeah, it will have any good impact on the whole registration business.
In the common ground, the common ground is that none of the constituencies opposed making end users or registrars aware of what their information is going to be used for. It was really just prescribing how their customers are made aware.
Absolutely.
And I believe that's what Task Force 2 had said anyway. So, I mean, we could always put forth a...
You believe that what Task Force 2 said?
What Task Force 2 said, that notice needed to be provided to the registrants about how their data was going to be used.
Well, that's already in the contract.
Right.
It's a currently requirement that is included in the services agreement, essentially. There's no...
Well, it just says you have to obtain their consent, doesn't say how.
That's correct, Steve. But yeah, somehow the registrant has to agree to it, which is generally done through a services agreement. You're right, Steve.
I mean, we have a couple options. I think.
Can we ask before we look at the options what the characterize the other constituencies? I mean, was it unanimous, for example? I don't think it was unanimous on the registrar side. It was, very one-sided. It wasn't unanimous. On the other constituencies, what was the vote like?
Okay, let's. Well, we don't have anyone from the BC, the IP constituency.
There was no objection in our constituency.
Okay. So, Steve, when you say there's no objection, was there an actual vote, or it was just this is the?
That was a negative option.
Okay.
There was no objection.
And on the registry side, David, do you want to speak to that?
Well, we haven't taken a vote at this point. Using the negative option approach, I think we will have unanimous approval.
Okay. Non-commercial is not on the call, so I'm not sure if they indicated on their statement how that came about.
Yeah, actually they do. Let me pull it up really quickly.
Yeah, I'm just scrolling through the email now.
Just closed the window a second ago.
It says, Chair drafted and circulated via email a constituency statement, soliciting input from its members. A minor addition to the draft concerning renewals was suggested and agreed incorporated. All comments were supportive except for one, which emphasized the additional burden on registrants of the additional process. That's what they say. And the BC says, I'm just going through their statement here. They don't really say, I guess. Yeah, so they just say it's a BC statement. Paul, does that help?
Yeah, it helps me, but on the other hand, it doesn't really help the situation. It seems like it's more diametrically opposed now. I mean, if we had two or three constituencies kind of on the edge, it seems like there's more of a still ground lurking out there, but now...
Steve, did you want to address
Jeff,
that?
I think you had mentioned the Task Force 2 recommendations, which were approved by the representatives of the all the constituencies, but obviously I don't know that there was a vote within any constituency. But those recommendations were, first, that ICANN should incorporate compliance with this notification and consent requirement into its overall plan to improve registrar compliance with the registrar.
Hi, it's Marilyn. I'm sorry I'm late.
That's okay, Marilyn. Steve?
No, I'm just reviewing what Task Force 2 said about this issue.
Okay.
That was the first point, which is a compliance point. Second was that ICANN should issue an advisory reminding registrars of the importance of compliance with this contractual requirement. Even registrars operating primarily in countries in which local law apparently does not require registrant consent to be obtained. And then the third point was ICANN should encourage development of best practices that will improve the effectiveness of giving notice to and obtaining consent from domain name registrants, such as by requesting that GNSO commence a policy development process or other procedure with the goal of developing such best practices. Well, I guess the second part of that may kind of put it, it's a bit circular because it puts us back to where we are now, having proposed implementation, which the registrars and registries object to. But the other two points, or actually all three points, that it should be part of the compliance plan, there should be an advisory, and that there's they should encourage the development of best practices. I mean, I think all those things could still put forward. I don't know what the registrars would think about those.
Well, let me just, this is Jordan, let me just jump in and speak a little bit as without advocating for the registrar position, but noting sort of my observation of the process. It seems like just have even looking at the statement itself that it's not inconsistent. Like essentially I think the registrar statement has adopted some of the principles behind the task force recommendations, but there's some aversion to adopting specific implementation mechanisms, especially where they may either be difficult to implement or incompatible with existing registration processes. So I think something like the old third recommendation from Task Force 2 may actually seem, at first blush, and I'd like to hear Tom and Paul's viewpoint, but encouraging the development of best practices seems compatible with the notion that the registrars have put forward, that they encourage voluntary adoption of such measures in any case. And so maybe creating some clarity about good approaches to that might be a policy that could be supported.
Jordan, it's Marilyn. I'm sorry I had trouble getting on, which has nothing to do with the bridge. It was just my location in Geneva. I have a question, though. As I read the contributions that I saw posted today, and I haven't seen the ISP contribution.
They haven't sent it to us yet.
Okay,
tried, but for some reason we haven't received it.
Okay, so there's four we've received. Is that right? Out of six?
Correct.
And the registries will be received tomorrow.
Pardon me?
A registry statement will be received, we're told, tomorrow.
So we have a registry statement coming, we have a registrar statement, we have a BC statement and a non-commercial statement, and the ISP statement is in the same situation. The registry is on its way. Is that right?
And IP.
But we have the IP statement.
Right. You didn't say that in your list. Yeah.
Oh, sorry. Okay. Okay, so we have, and consistent with the job of the task force, which is to develop potential policy recommendations and to put forward those policy recommendations. We're somewhere in the process of doing that, and we have a set of procedures that we need to go through in order to fulfill the PDP process.
Yep, Meryl, we're taking a step back from that because ultimately we're all in a process of trying to come up with consensus policies, and if it seems like from the statements that we're not going to propose a consensus policy, then we need to question as to whether we need to do more work before we forward a report onto the council.
Jeff, I might be there, but I just want to understand where we are in terms of the practicalities of the process we need to follow. So we will soon have all six of the constituency statements.
Correct.
But we're not required to get an impact statement from the at-large, and I don't know if anyone's on from the at-large that would comment on whether they're going to submit anything.
No one's on.
Okay. So you're proposing that we, based on the initial assessment of the comments we've received, that we...
Marilyn, if I can short-circuit this, I think Jeff laid out two options. One is we can go ahead and forward, once we get the other two statements in, we can go ahead and forward this to the council, documenting the positions the constituencies took. The alternative is there any value in trying to modify the recommendations so that we can gain greater support for them before they're forwarded to the council? I think those are the two options.
Correct.
We haven't, obviously.
Yeah, and so I still have a question, though, if I might.
Sure.
If we decide to pursue that latter option of we put the information we received on hold, we freeze it in place, we don't abandon it, we freeze it, and we say, okay, now we're going to step back and say, based on the comments we've gotten, is there a way that we could modify our consensus policy recommendation in a way that we would get broader support from the task force? How would you propose that we do that?
Well, we were just discussing whether that would even be possible, given, well, we started out the call with this discussion of the statements and how the groups arrived to those statements. And I read the BC statement, and although you might want to provide some more detail, I'm certainly not a member of the BC. And so the discussion was just a general one to just poll the group to see if it's even possible to modify it. And so far, the discussion from the registrars and others is that it would be very difficult, if not impossible, to come up with some sort of middle position, seeing as how the groups are so diametrically opposed. All the groups support providing notice to the registrant as to how their information is going to be used. But that's in the contracts already. That's in Task Force 2's report. So I'm not sure what the value of putting that forward would be. So, I mean, it's really kind of a heart-to-heart discussion as to what steps we could take to reach a middle ground, if that's even possible. And I'm not hearing, someone correct me if I'm wrong, I'm not hearing any middle ground at this point, or a way to reach a middle ground.
I think Jordan was saying something when Marilyn said something.
Well, I was just going to, can someone that's on the council tell me what the, or was that in KL, tell me what the status of the Task Force 2 recommendations are? Were they essentially put aside by the council for... Okay.
No. Task Force 2, well, I don't know what you mean by put aside.
Well, set aside to wait until the results of this task force were...
I think we should ask Glenn and the ICANN staff to go back and look at the council minutes to verify that. I thought we were to be incorporating our work and moving forward. Isn't that right? So
yeah, what I remember, what I remember from the meeting as observing the meeting was that they combined task forces 1 and 2 in KL so that we could take kind of baby steps forward, try to pick the low-hanging fruit, and try to expand on implementing some of the things that the task force has come up with.
Yeah, I think that's right, but I think we should go back and ask the staff to specifically look at the minutes and just verify that and post it. It's always, you know, good to be sure we're...
Okay.
That's my recollection.
I was going to suggest if the council... It may be that the council is simply looking for some, you know, another... For us to provide them with something that they can then vote on as potential consensus policy. And it seems like from the initial discussions here today that it might be possible to either tweak or go back to something more like the Task Force 2 recommendation and say, we think this is the best proposal that we're able to work through, and we believe that should be forwarded as consensus policy as opposed to the more concrete recommendations that we attempted to put together over the past few weeks.
Well, let me just ask it's a structural question. It's not expressing an opinion. As I understand, when we forward a report to the council, we would document sort of the steps we've taken and whether or not we've received we'd document the steps we've taken, et cetera. When would we, let's say that there's track A and track B, and track A is we stop this, put it on the table, it's just sitting there, and we go back to a higher level statement, we still need to put that out for public comment. Is that right?
I believe that the public comment period comes after the submission of the initial report.
Well, this is Steve. Can I ask a practical question at this point?
Yeah, go ahead.
These recommendations were posted on November 29th, and we got the preliminary views of the registrar constituencies on January 31st. I don't know when, if at all, we got their final views, or when this vote took place.
Yeah, Steve, the vote closed after the statement was submitted to the task force, but it was supported by the...
All right, all I'm saying is it's 8 to 10 weeks that they were considering. If we made any changes, such as by moving toward the Task Force 2 recommendations, wouldn't we still have to wait 8 or 10 weeks to find out what the registrar constituency thought about it?
So we basically would have to rewrite, let's say it's option B here, we have to rewrite and then go back to all the constituencies.
Right, to all the constituencies, but this is the one, I'm just giving this as an example because...
Yeah.
You know, you could say the registry constituency, which is also taken about the same period.
Yeah. We're just problem solving about the practicalities of the time here. Can you guys, those of you who are from those two constituencies, comment on what your thinking is on the timing if we redrafted? Let's say hypothetically we agreed. We're not there yet, but let's say hypothetically we agreed and we went to the council on the 17th. And said, we're not going to do A, we're going to step back, revise, and do B, and the council supported that, and that's yet to be determined, but let's say they do, then we would put forward a revised statement to all the constituencies, because all of us who supported the statement are going to have to go back and sell it to our constituencies as well. I mean, it isn't just a case to say.
No, that's right. It's all the constituencies. So
yeah.
How long would that take?
I'm not necessarily sure it needs to go back to the constituencies if the statement is consistent with what the constituencies have said.
Yeah, but
I don't agree with
Jeff,
that. Jeff,
Jeff, it has to go to mine.
We just spent 2 months.
Hold on, let me finish here. If you look at the PDP, it says, the chair of the task force working with the staff manager shall compile the constituency statement, public comment report, and other information or reports as applicable into a single document and distribute the task force reports to the full task force, and forget the time period that it says. The task force shall have a final task force meeting after distribution of the report to deliberate the issues and try to reach a supermajority vote. So you're saying that we don't even take a vote, we just start over.
Well, there's two questions. I thought that's what you were proposing. But my point was, if we make major modifications in this, the constituencies who supported it as it is are going to have to revote because it's new language for them. And I would assume you guys would have to revote.
Well, but Marilyn, Jeff is right in pointing out the bylaws actually contemplate a meeting of the constituency of the task force in which the input of the constituencies is taken into consideration in an attempt to create a supermajority vote of the task force, at which point then the report is submitted to council. So the PDP doesn't contemplate going back
Maybe we
disagree with the PDP, but I think Jordan,
I'm sorry. I wasn't disagreeing with the PDP. I was questioning. I thought what you guys were proposing was that we modify and present something to the council other than what we have out for vote.
Which is possible.
Yeah, I don't think that's inconsistent with
right,
the PDP.
Which is possible. In other words, if you take the constituency statements and you try to find ground within those common ground within the constituency statements and put forth a shorter proposal or put forth one that you think is consistent with all the statements, you can forward that to the council. And remember, there is another another public comment period during it, in which constituencies can provide other statements. So, the answer then, it depends on what we come forward with. So, for example, if we come forward with something that is consistent with all the statements, even though it's less than what's in all the statements, then what I'm saying is you may not need to go back to the constituency. If we discuss new ideas and new concepts are put in there, then we need to figure out what we need to do as far as going back to the constituencies and almost like getting permission from the council to start this over again.
But I need to ask for just procedural help on this. So the idea would be that I would tell the business constituency what you voted on no longer matters because we have decided in the task force to come up with a different report based on the range of input that was received from across the constituencies. We as the task force are modifying what you saw and voted in support of.
Now, I think the message is a little different, right? Again,
okay.
This is only if there is common ground, okay? This is if we could take all the constituency statements, put them together and find some common ground, and then put that as the task force report. What you would tell the business constituency and what I would tell the registry constituency would be that you voted on this statement, we brought all the constituencies together, and the only common ground was this one piece. That one piece is being forwarded to the council as a recommendation. You will have another opportunity to comment at the council level when there's another public comment period. But this is our best work as a task force to try to come up with some sort of middle ground. I mean, that's what you would tell them. I mean, you're not shutting them out. They have the right to object once it gets to the council level. And
well, by the same token, we can just go ahead with what we've put out here, and then the registrar representatives on the council and the registry representatives on the council and the representatives of the other constituencies will decide how to vote on it.
That's correct. And we could do that, except we need to take a vote within the task force, and there's not going to be a supermajority.
Well, yeah, but that's okay. But Jeff, that's happened before. We've had task forces where the task force has been split, and we've had minority reports in addition to that. and it goes to council. The council debates it and either sends it back or makes a decision based on a vote of the council.
Right. So that's the two options. The two options are to take a vote within the task force on the statement and then to forward it. Basically, we could just follow the bylaws, which states we take a vote now. If there's no supermajority, then we need to put forth a clear statement of all the positions espoused by task force members, an analysis of how the issue would affect each constituency of the task force, including financial impact, an analysis of the period of time that would likely be necessary to implement the policy, and the advice of any outside advisors appointed to the task force by the council, which we didn't do in this case.
It's like one way, all or nothing, and the other way, we may have a chance of coming up with a solution. If we don't go down path B, we'll come up with a solution. We can always revert to path A.
If we take path B, the question is whether we would need to go back out for constituency statements and all of the others.
I think we probably would because, I think what you said at the outset is correct, that there really isn't much common ground here. All that the registrars, I don't know what the registries say, but apparently they're going to support the registrar. All the registrars say that they could agree to is that the disclosure actually be available to registrants during the registration process, which I think is the status quo. And I don't see, between a recommendation that says keep the status quo and a recommendation that says here are some things that you have to do that may not be in the status quo. Although some registrars are doing it.
Yeah.
What's the common
ground? Yeah, Jeff and Jordan, I'm going to ask a hypothetical question. Because you pointed out that we didn't ask an expert, and just a hypothetical question. If we did a random search of the websites of 50 registrars, or ask an expert to do that. Because it's the point that's being made, registrars are doing this already, so there's no need to do it. And so if we did a search of 50, that'd be what, a fourth of the accredited registrars, or maybe only a fifth or something like that?
Marilyn, I think one of the things, and I'll let Tom and Paul address this, I think it's more than just registrars are doing this already. I think that's a minor part. I think their statement is that the ICANN should not prescribe that it's okay to prescribe that notice is given, but it's not okay to prescribe exactly the model in which registrars give notice.
I hear that, but I believe that, in fact, in a previous consensus policy, that the council decided otherwise.
I'm not going to debate that, but because I think that's not really relevant to this particular issue.
Oh, okay.
I'm just going over what registrars are saying.
Yeah, but let me go back to the question I was asking. Because, if a concern on the part of some of the constituencies is that, in fact, registrants don't have direct and apparent notice, then a random survey, which validates that a high percentage of the registrars do provide that notice, would assuage some of the concerns of those constituencies that it's not being done.
Yeah, I think,
Marilyn, I think actually the staff already performed a survey along these lines in Task Force 2.
Right.
In Task Force 2, and Task Force 2's findings were that to the extent that the notice to registrants of data elements collected and displayed are not clear or may be overlooked by registrants based on the overall length and complexity of the registration agreement, it's useful to change the format so that better notice is delivered to registrants.
Let
me make a suggestion. I think, again, the common ground here is that everyone supports that notice be provided, I'm assuming, and let me know if I'm wrong, but the task force and the constituency support the fact that notice be provided to all registrants in advance of registration as to what their data is going to be used for, with respect to who is. It could be a recommendation from the task force that an implementation committee be set up by ICANN on how that can be enforced.
No, I think that could be enforced today, and this is one of the recommendations that Task Force 2 made.
So, Jeff, you're proposing, so let me see if I understand Jeff's proposal. What you'd be proposing, Jeff, is instead of having the task force do the work, you'd shift the work off to an implementation committee. And I guess one of the concerns about that is that's really starting over, isn't it? I mean, if we're talking about how to implement it, then shifting it in to an implementation committee means that the council, that the task force stops its work, we create an implementation committee, and the implementation committee, or working group, I think they're called, which typically has excluded the user constituencies, with the exception of one or two representatives, would actually start the work of, okay, how do we implement this objective?
But you change the focus from, you set a guidance to this. The council could set the guidance, our report could propose guidance, that you're not focusing on how notice is being provided, but you're focusing on what types of enforcement mechanisms ICANN can use to make sure registrars are complying with the contract. Because I don't think any of the registrars oppose the requirement of providing notice. They oppose the requirement of prescribing how they do it. But if you were to set up an implementation committee that only looks at how ICANN can enforce this provision,
I think that's totally unnecessary. Why do we need to advise ICANN on how they can enforce their contract? It's very simple. Are the registrars obtaining this consent, or are they not? Because if they're not, they're in violation of the contract. And I don't see that there's any value to the task force setting up 32 more committees to stress this obvious point.
Well, you know, at some point, though, I think we all agree that when we develop consensus policy, there is still the phase in which there is a working effort on how to implement the consensus policy. But so I don't think that I would disagree with the need, once there's a consensus policy, to have an implementation effort. And I think the BC mentioned the need for, a pre-screen of that almost. But I take Steve's point that that's not what we're proposing here, and not what I heard anyway, and maybe I just misheard. What I heard was hand things off to a new group, but don't actually... And I'm getting confused by the options because I'm standing in the middle of the WGIG. And I think maybe we need to, all of us, think about what I think Jordan and Jeff were saying. Okay, there would be option A or option B. We probably ought to see that in writing to the task force, because I know not everybody's on the call. And then we ought to discuss maybe online what the pros and cons are of taking either approach. One of them being taking a vote on this, showing there's no supermajority, documenting the different positions, and discussing it within the council. And the other one being, and I'll let Jordan and Jeff describe what the other one is rather than my trying to do it.
Yeah, Meryl, actually, just in listening to this, I'm a little concerned about what happens. I think what I've heard from Steve today and sort of my thoughts as well are that I think we have some pretty valuable recommendations that came out of Task Force 2. I'm a little concerned we're going to, if we end up forwarding recommendations to the council that I don't believe are likely to gain consensus policy status at the council level, that we might lose some of the work and recommendations that I think are supportable that came out of Task Force 2, in the process.
I think you should, Jordan, I think that's a valid point, and I think you should lay that out to the task force in your cover notes.
I got a question. What Steve said kind of struck me. It's in the contract already. If registrars are not signing this notice, then we're breaking the contract, and I can force that. This is just a thought. How about if we came up with some kind of, and Jordan said, I forget the words he used, not a best practice is what he said. If we come up with something that ICANN says, you may do this, and if you do this, then you're definitely not in violation of the contract. If you don't do this, then you may be in violation of the contract, and we'll come after you. And then it's a judgment call on ICANN's part if you don't follow.
I think you're describing the need for policy to underpin that. Otherwise, we have the ICANN staff making something up, right? And I'm a little bit concerned about that, Paul.
Well, Marilyn, when we look back to the Task Force 2 recommendation, mm-hmm. I think the recommendation was that ICANN should encourage the development of best practices that will ... So I don't know. It's not clear from that recommendation exactly how that should take place. It could be that we decide that a useful policy function is to, figure out, to provide a policy framework for that to take place. But once again, I think the point has been made a couple times. I think that there's a lot in the Task Force 2 recommendations that I think we could easily get consensus around if we could figure out a way to make sure that the council has the opportunity to consider those as a consensus policy.
Jordan, could I get in the queue, or Jeff?
Yeah, I think Jeff's keeping the queue. But
yeah, so Steve, who else has the queue?
It probably depends.
All right, well, Steve,
I agree with the suggestion that the chairs should circulate their idea for option B, including both, sending around the Task Force 2 recommendations and describing what process they think we would need to go through, because I'm not at all sure that we could simply switch horses in midstream back to Task Force 2, but maybe we could. So that was my first point. My second point, and I'm raising this really because I have to get off the call in a couple of minutes, is just to ask whether anything has been set up regarding our second recommendation on the conflict local law issue, and whether there's going to be any opportunity to discuss this with the ICANN staff.
Let me jump in, because I think some people have to leave at noon. I think Jordan and I can circulate the options and processes that we would go through with either option, and we'll discuss those in the next call, because I think we do need to get to Steve's second question, which I think is important. And Jordan, you want to give an update on that?
Yeah, I've been dealing with various members of the ICANN staff in an attempt to arrange some dialogue, and been getting at various times more supportive messages about arranging. We've actually had a couple times when it was indicated that staff would likely be able to join us, and it turned out that was not the case. The latest signal I seem to be getting from Paul and maybe Maria or Barbara, correct me if I'm wrong, is that currently the General Counsel and the AGC are occupied on some important matters. I don't know what they are, and do not currently have any bandwidth to interact with the task force. And when they do have that, the staff is aware of our need to discuss this with them, and they'll let us know.
Thank you.
Yeah. I don't view it as a very satisfying response, Steve. But
is there any kind of time frame attached to that?
Yeah, I've not had any specific time frame indicated by the staff at this point.
Maria, Barbara, anything to add to that?
No, not really. I think that Paul said it pretty well, which is that we've been pushing them quite a bit to prioritize this, and the answer we're getting back is that it is a priority, but that there are, in fact, a couple of other higher priorities.
Well, in that case, I'd like to suggest that we put this issue on our next agenda also to decide what, if anything, the task force should do at this point.
Yeah, I think that's a good idea. And I'm sorry, I had to be away for a minute consulting with another government type. Can I just ask a question? And you may have already discussed this. Have we offered a more free-flowing form of dates by which we might agree to work around the ICANN staff schedule?
This is Barbara. Let me say that we've offered almost every form of free-flowing option.
Thanks, Barbara.
The answer is we'll meet you with you when we meet with you.
I thought we had. Okay.
Our options is, by the way, I mean, and I'm not advocating this necessarily, but there is nothing in the PDP that requires input from the General Counsel.
That's right. We have the option just to go ahead, but I think we should discuss that.
Right. On the next call.
Okay. Yeah. I'm going to have to drop off here, but I support the idea of circulating the option B on this first question, and look forward to discussing that and this second issue on the next call.
Okay. And I'll speak to – can we just speak to calendaring for just a moment while we and maybe Steve will drop off in the meantime, but it sounds like we will set up a call for next week to discuss that, as well as whether we pursue option A or option B or whatever with regards to this topic. 2 weeks from now, we're going to put together an opportunity for various implementers of tiered access to present to the task force, which we discussed on our last call. And the initial list of people we'll be inviting include .name, .ca, DNIC, as well as some registrars who implement proxy services. Does anyone, I think Marilyn had indicated previously that you thought some Latin American CCs might also have implemented that sort of tiered access?
Yeah, I can email them, and I can email a couple. It's actually a couple here with me at this meeting, and I can see if I can round up somebody for you. Is that okay?
Yeah, that's fine. And just we are targeting two weeks from now in order to have that session.
But we're not going to try to have everybody on the same session.
We're going to. I mean, it depends on what the response level is like. I would like to have a slightly longer call during that day.
Oh, I see. It might have 30 minutes per. I gotcha.
Yeah.
Okay.
I think 30 minutes might be overkill. I mean, we'll see what the responses are like, but I would guess 15 to 20 minutes per respondent, and maybe have half a dozen or eight respondents. That might be up to 2 hours for the call.
And then have Q&A, because people will make a presentation, and then there'll need to be a chance to ask questions.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Okay. Well, let me see. I wouldn't wait on the Latin Americans, but because I might suspect, we could do a good meeting with the ones you're contacting.
Yeah, I think that's true. So we're not waiting. We're targeting 2 weeks from now.
Okay. I am dropping off too.
Okay.
It's a scary place over here.
Well, good luck fighting the good fight.
Thanks.
Good luck, Marilyn. All right.
Bye-bye.
All right, everyone. I think that ends the call. So next week, same time, and Jordan and I will get together and put forth the options on email.
Thanks, everyone.
Thanks.
Bye.
Bye.
Bye.